Chapter 50. I have one instant, like when the puck drops, where all is calm and quiet, enough for one deep breath in and a long, slow release. Then time catches up and sprints ahead. Levi swears again at Minnie. I grab the door handle and am outside the truck before he's finished his sentence. I'm in the back seat of Sini's car an instant later. She puts the car in reverse, backs up, and jolts forward at an angle. Metal scrapes against metal as Sini blocks Levi from following my exit route. Minnie hasn't budged. Levi's truck is too close to the back drawbridge to make any turns. There's nowhere else for him to go except to his left. My view is blocked by the truck. I grab her flip phone from the drink holder and call Ron's cell phone. He answers. Jamie's on Sugar Island, I shout, in a trailer hidden in between the East Shore Black Rocks, about 100 feet south of a cave-like opening with a creek along one side. Mike Edwards is going to hurt him. I unlock the right door, leave the car, and sidestep behind the truck to reach its other side. John Zeke Wadin's Lincoln Town Car, the one he calls his pony. Cursing a blue streak from his Navy days, John Z sits inside with both feet braced against the open door on his passenger side. He has created a nearly perpendicular blockade to keep Levi from escaping. The wind snatches the ball cap from my head. Hair whipping across my face, I rush along the ferry rail until I'm ahead of Minnie's red Mustang. She hasn't moved. Somehow, these three elders coordinated a rescue. Minnie rolls down her window and shouts, "Get in, my girl! Ambe!" I do as my elder tells me and watch Levi's movements from the safety of Minnie's car. He tries rolling the passenger window down to crawl out. Something must not be working, because Levi thrashes around like a toddler having a tantrum. Sini follows my brother's lead, exiting from her passenger side. She runs to the front of the ferry. Instead of continuing down the ramp, she turns to face us on deck. She points at Levi with one hand while holding an invisible feather to Creator with the other. Sini trills a high-pitched call, "Lee, lee, 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 lee." Minnie joins in, laying on her horn. John Z adds his horn as well. At last, Levi gets the window down and rolls over Sini's car. He runs past Minnie's car, continuing toward the ferry ramp. He speaks into the flip phone he had earlier. Sini continues to point and trill at the figure running directly toward her. I'm out of Minnie's car the instant I realize Levi's not swerving to avoid Sini. He needs to create a diversion to get away. Levi plows into her. He continues down the ramp and across the parking lot. I rush to Sini, who is flat on her back with her arms still raised overhead. The wind knocked out of her. A pause before she inhales a raspy gulp of air. What comes out of her makes my heart soar. She continues her trill. I know it means, we faced worse than you, and we are still here. It is our survival song. While Minnie, Johnsy, the deckhand, and people from waiting cars rush to Sini, I race after Levi. He reaches the far end of the parking lot and continues towards the golf course down the road. He has too much of a head start. I cannot catch my brother at a full sprint. Think, Donis, think. I scan the row of cars waiting to board the ferry. I don't see any familiar ones until a black Range Rover pulls into the line. Grant's car. He's here to get Levi. Ron needs to know about Grant's involvement. Sini's cell phone is still in her car. Before I turn back for it, a car horn grabs my attention. Coach Bobby's BMW pulls up next to me. He can help me. Coach Bobby, I need a ride and your phone. We gotta follow Levi. Of course, he says without hesitation. Get in. I do so. He looks at me expectantly, and I realize he's waiting for me to put on my seatbelt. It's ridiculous, really, to worry about little things when we are in a crisis. Are you serious? I raise my voice as I comply. You're gonna be Mr. Safety First? Coach Bobby exits the ferry parking lot, turning left toward the golf course. I reach for his cell phone resting in the cup holder. He moves it to his left hand, farther away from me. I echo my incredulity. Are you serious? Wait. I never told him which way Levi was headed. Coach never asked. I look back at the cars lined up to board the ferry. Grant's car hasn't moved. When we were in Green Bay, Coach Bobby said Grant had donated the pucks for the tribal youth program, but was keeping it quiet because he didn't want the publicity. But when Grant donated his legal services to set up Robin's foundation, he posed for photo opportunities splashed across the front page of the evening news. Grant Edwards has never shied away from publicity. Coach Bobby lied. Their partner is a high school business teacher, an entrepreneur, a gambler, big wins and losses, a starter of many small businesses that never really took off until one did. He says, "Bet you wish you were playing D1 hockey right about now."